Well, once again, welcome. I am a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm finding victory over my addiction to alcohol. Don't even know if I mentioned the alcohol part earlier, but anyway, my name is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
I mean, I've got street cred here. I did something bad to get here, so here we go. Well, kind of a fun night for a number of different reasons. We are the lesson tonight, and for those of you that are new, haven't been to a CR before, each week we either do a teaching that comes from the core curriculum of this ministry. We call it a step study. You work through a step study a little bit differently than you might work through the 12 steps in an AA and NA and SA meeting, but the concept is the same. It's to get deeper into you. As I mentioned, ladies just finished up a study, guys pretty much done with a study. That's about, depending on the guys, we did about every other week, so it was about a year or so that we've been meeting, or maybe a little bit less than that. Ladies, it's a 6, 8, 9 month commitment, and so you really go in deep into yourself and into studying what we teach every other week here. So every other week's a teaching on one of those lessons, and in the week we're not teaching, we have a testimony. So last week, Leah gave her testimony, just kind of how God has intervened in her life, and what life was like before, maybe getting some recovery, getting some support, getting some community, what changed and what life is like now. So every other week. So we're back to a teaching week this week. Well, this week, the lesson is our final lesson in the series. We call it 7 Reasons We Get Stuck. Because getting stuck in your recovery is something that will happen to all of us. Many of you have already been stuck and unstuck numerous times in your recovery walk. I also think it's emblematic, or it's synonymous with our faith walk. You hear people, Christians, all the time say, "I just don't feel close to God." And of course, if we stop for a second and think about it, it's not that God moved, we did. You know, God is always God. He's constant. So what people are saying is, I'm kind of stuck in my faith walk. That's why this ministry is as much a spiritual development ministry, a spiritual formation ministry, as it is a recovery ministry. And so I match the two up all the time, because that's the way my life is. I got sober moments before Jesus got a hold of me. Those of you that don't know my story, about 45 years as an atheist before now being the ministry leader of a Christ-centered recovery group. That's just wacky. That's insane. That's God, okay? A total transformation in my life, yet I am still very broken. I am still flawed beyond belief, but fortunately, Jesus has done something about that. So tonight, when we look at the 7 reasons we get stuck, it's for, one, those of us that have been on this recovery journey for a while, and just some of the things that, if we've been stuck, we're going to kind of maybe recall what got out of it. If we're in a season of stuckness, I made up that word right now, then these are maybe some of the things we want you to look to work at getting unstuck. Those of you who are brand new or new in your recovery journey, you may be stuck in a lifestyle, a thought style, a speech style, whatever it is, that is harmful, that is harming others, that is harming yourself. So you're kind of stuck in, I was stuck as an alcoholic, couldn't stop drinking when I walked through those doors 13 plus years ago. So while I wasn't stuck in my recovery, because I hadn't tried that yet, at least real recovery, I was stuck. And so some of these principles tonight will apply to you as well, as far as some of the things that this lesson recommends that you do to get unstuck from that. So that's it's a kind of a dual purpose lesson that we have. So it's also the lesson that I think you guys write the most in the handout here. Hopefully you have one of these or one of these near. I think Jeff made pens available to you. So if you want to, there's some fill-ins. It's not an acrostic tonight, but I'm gonna give you the fill-ins to these things as we go through. So let's get into it. And I'm going to kind of tie this. It's not necessarily a progressive thing, but many times I think it's good if you kind of, if you're in a period of stuckness, kind of use this as a checklist, okay? So the first why that you have It may be a reason that you're stuck either in your recovery, not being able to break out of, or in your addiction, let's say, or hurt or habit or hang up, compulsive behavior. That can be codependency, that can be pornography, that can be relationship mistakes, that can be anger, that can be alcohol, like it was in my case. So whatever that we'll call character defect is that's preventing you from being everything that God wants you to be, or whether you're in recovery, have been in recovery for a while, but just feel like I'm not necessarily moving. I'm not moving, you know, in the direction I feel like I need to. So one, the first one, you, is what the Y stands for, I think, in most of these, have not completely worked the previous principle or the previous step, or you have not, if you're new, have not started to work on those steps. I help people save for their retirement in my professional life. It's amazing how many people I talk to that want to retire with a lot of money, but don't want to save money to get there. And there's a lot of people, myself included, I wanted to be sober, I just didn't want to stop drinking. So I was like, how is that going to work? But I tried to make that make sense in my life. So when we look at you, may have not completely worked the previous principle or started your path of recovery, that's one of those glaring things. Get in, keep coming back to this ministry if you've been having trouble getting a recovery started for yourself. If you've been in recovery and you kind of feel like you're stagnant, maybe you need to review the 8 principles, review the 12 steps. What is it that maybe you haven't? And that's why when we start a couple of weeks from now, we're going to restart the lesson series with denial in a couple of weeks. You may have not previously worked the principle or worked the previous principle, so you if you're still in denial, you're not going to get the recovery that you deserve. Okay, so and many times people will be many weeks, months, sometimes years into a recovery program and still be in denial. And they're wondering, why isn't this thing working? Why am I consistently relapsing? Why am I consistently going back to those? So take a look at those. For those of you that have been in the plan, been through a step study, pull out your step study books. For those of you that have not been in a step study, get into a step study. Say, if some's just ended, we'll hope to start some maybe in the fall or winter. I'm not sure. Just have to look for leaders and timing and all of that. But that would be something you'd want to do. Scripture that goes with that. So Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I really like that because I don't know about you, but sometimes God's timing isn't my timing. In fact, most of the time, God's timing is not my timing. And that scripture reminds me that it's not my timeline. In other words, I want to get through the principles in 8 days, 8 weeks, 8 months, whatever it is. You know, I'll take a principle a month. Well, maybe that's not God's plan. Maybe that's not you completely working the principle. Maybe you need 3 months to work on the first principle in this program. Maybe you need 3 weeks. So appropriately pace that is kind of what I want to leave you with that. All right, the second fill-in. Number two, you have not completely surrendered your will and your life to the Lord. Are these up there? So good, I don't have to keep reading. You've not completely surrendered your will and your life to the Lord. Many of you, perhaps all of you, have surrendered your life. You've asked Christ into your heart. You've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Okay? So salvation is yours. Your will, on the other hand, is a whole different story. For me, it's a daily, hourly sometimes exercise in turning my will over to him. Jack's will comes naturally, you know, to me. To Jack's will first, God's will second. Okay? And so if you haven't completely surrendered your life, and first of all, if you haven't accepted Christ, you're not going to get the full benefit of this program. Doesn't mean we don't want you here. Absolutely want you here. When I walked through the door, I was an atheist. So I'm just warning you, if you're not wanting God, that he could get you, okay, like he got me. I'm just going to give you a fair warning on that. He can do anything, and I'm living proof of that. So surrendering your life may be the first step, accepting Christ. If you have questions about that, what does that look like? I'm someone that you can talk to. There are others in this room that have had a long walk with Jesus and would be more than happy to share with you what is done in their life. That's probably the best thing you can do to somebody that's questioning their faith or questioning, you know, do they want to have a faith? Just tell them what God's done in your life and leave it at that. You know, you don't have to do the convincing. Remember, God does the converting. God does the saving. God does the hard work. You simply share what he's done in your life. You simply share about him. Expose people to him. Let him do all the heavy lifting. Your will, on the other hand, as I say, daily process. And so if you find yourself stuck in your recovery, it's oftentimes because you're still driving the bus. And you haven't stepped out of that driver's seat. And you need to do that. You need to let go and let God, as they say. That doesn't mean you don't have some part of the equation, but it means that you're still driving the bus, as I say. Okay, so that's another area where we can really get hung up. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, for good judgment and common sense, trust in the Lord completely. Don't ever trust in yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Now remember, success in God's economy is different than success in my economy or maybe yours. It doesn't mean you get the job that you always wanted. It doesn't mean that recovery is perfect and everything's wonderful, but it will be successful. It'll be a success that's different because it's going to be God's success in your life, not your own. All right, the third one, you have not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. You know, if you look at the first series of lessons we have in this, when we started this about a year ago, denial, powerless, hope, sanity, turn. Those are all leading you to get out of denial, get real with yourself, okay? Understand that you're not in control, that somebody is, and he has your best interest in mind. Okay, find hope in that. Stop doing the same stuff you have been doing over and over again, expecting different results, but not getting them, and turning your life and your will over to Christ. So those that kind of match up with the first three that we have here. And so these match up with, okay, so as you're looking at your recovery or your lack of recovery, and you're kind of looking, okay, what is ringing true in my heart? Well, that's an area, if you've been through a study before, you may want to go back and take a look at your answers to those questions that you answered in your step study. If you're having a hard time getting out of the driver's seat, you're having a hard time turning that will over as much as you should, if you're having a hard time accepting that God has forgiven you if you have accepted him, period. Okay, we are going to be having an off week next week. No teaching, no testimony. We're going to celebrate our recoveries next week. We're going to have some fun, but I'm also going to give you a chance to reflect on your year or how long or ever long you've been here. Maybe it's just your last week. Okay, and we're gonna give you the opportunity to kind of take a look at maybe visiting, giving it to Christ. Getting it out of your life, giving it to him. Okay, so that's just a little bit of a preview. So, have you fully accepted what God did on the cross for you? Is another way of saying that. If you haven't done that, if you still think you have sinned that so far that you can't be forgiven, if your sin is different than all other sins that God has forgiven, you're wrong. You're just wrong. He's paid the price. Accept that. That's hard to get our minds around. That level of grace, that level of mercy is something I certainly don't have. I've gotten more of it since I've been following him, and I get a little taste of it because I'm following him. But get that through your head because that's going to be a huge roadblock to so many things. Your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with others, and your recovery. So think about that, where you sit on that. The fourth one, you have not forgiven others who have harmed you. You have not forgiven others who have harmed you. Let me just pop back to that third one, scripture, because I think it's an important scripture that talks about, you know, accepting that. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he can be dependent to forgive us from every wrong. Every is every, okay? So that's why I wanted to come back to that. So anyway, the fourth one, you've not forgiven others who have harmed you. When you get God's grace and God's forgiveness for your sin, a natural outpouring should be for you to have more grace and more forgiveness for others. That's a real good litmus test for yourself to see whether this your faith walk as well as your recovery walk is sticking. Are you more forgiving? Are you more patient? Are you more loving? Are you more compassionate? Are you more grace-filled? These are all God's characteristics that should be coming through you as you realize and get your mind around what he has done for you. The only natural response to somebody that has saved your life is gratitude. And then what are the things that you know that fall off of that? One of those is forgiving others, okay? You know, unforgiveness is like that cancer that's in you. It will stay in you until you release it. You've got to forgive others in order. See, I highlighted something from John Baker. It has been said that forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentments and removes the handcuffs of hate. It is the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. So a lot of imagery there of what forgiveness does. It's resentments, it removes the handcuffs, breaks chains, shackles. If you have experienced being able to forgive somebody, it should be a freeing experience. I've shared with you many times before, this is something I struggle with because I have to forgive and then re-forgive because then I forgive, you know, and I'm back to holding resentments again. There's the cancer. I've got to go forgive again. But I've gotten better at that. And it really is freeing. It really is refreshing to do that. Now, we always, let's see, do we have this one in here? No, I guess it's in a different one. So think about that in your recovery. Sometimes we get, like in my case, I get sober, but I'm not healthy. I'm not healed because I still have these resentments. I still have those shackles on. So be on guard for that. The fifth one. Actually, I think we've got a scripture that goes with that. Oh yeah, I love this one too. After you've suffered a little while, our God, who is full of kindness through Christ, will give you his eternal glory. He personally will pick you up and set you firmly in place and make you stronger than ever. But I love the way it starts. After you have suffered a little while. Once again, God's time and your time. You may be thinking, you call that a little while, Lord? Wow. Now remember, he's eternal. So yeah, it is a little while in his world. But I understand. Sometimes our suffering, sometimes our battles, sometimes our defeats can feel like they're going on forever. But realize you're learning, you're building, God's using those things. God, as we say, never wastes a hurt. So he's using those on this journey. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Sometimes God's waiting to redeem whatever it is, but forgiveness may be the key. Okay? And so you're kind of fighting against him in that. All right, now to number five. You are afraid of the risk of making a necessary change or the necessary change. You might be paralyzed by the fear of failure. You might resist change or growth because of the fear of the unknown. If you really try working the steps and the principles, you will change. I've told people since I've been able to speak about this ministry, if you come back every week and you work the principles and you get into this community and you practice the steps and you get into a step study and you give of yourself and you give your life over to Christ, you will be a different person. There is no way that cannot happen because God is working in that. It's only when we fight it, when we come in with resistance, when we come in with our set of rules, when we come with all due recovery my way, that's when we get stuck or people walk out and say, yeah, well, it wasn't for me. If you are human, you belong in recovery, all right? Now, that doesn't mean you're at CR. Sometimes your recovery comes in your church service and your church family, but you're broken. We know this. Eternally, not eternally, but we're broken as we're in this world, this life. And so make sure that you're realizing that this journey is going to change you. As I said, there was no way that I was going to become a Christian. I was just talking to somebody about this in the parking lot last night. There was no way that was going to happen to me. Nuh-uh. I changed. God changed me, okay? So, and I fought that. I was fearful of that change. I was not going to let that happen to me. I wasn't getting into this wacky cult called Christianity, okay? That's where my mind was. So don't, if you're afraid of that change, that can stunt your, you can kind of self-sabotage, in other words, all right? You're going to be a different person. That means the people that you interact with are going to see a different person. That means relationships are going to change. That means your thoughts about other people are going to change. Your thoughts about old behaviors that you know are going to change. And sometimes it's going to seem like, well, I'm losing all my friends, or I'm losing all my this, or I don't get to do that anymore. That's okay, because that's healthy. God will redeem that. Your true friends will always be there for you. Your healthy friends will be there for you. Maybe that's part of the plan. You know, it's like the old alcoholic axiom that says, well, I don't drink any more than my friends, but you're just, not because I'm hanging out at the bar all the time. And everybody lined up at the bar, they drink the same as I do. Well, because we're all alcoholics. Duh. So understand that change. I got to leave those friends at the bar, in my case. Because now my friends to begin with, they just drink the same amount, so I feel like I'm one of them, type thing. Scripture that goes with this one. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So God's got you through this change, in other words. You're now his. He paid and the ultimate penalty for you. You were bought. Okay, bondservant is a term that Paul uses quite a bit. That idea, basically, he's in bondage to Christ, and that's maybe a lost term, but I forget that myself. That I have been bought and paid for. I am under him, and so I'm gonna naturally change. As I've said many times to you in any number of ways, God will make all things right in my life. I am just not convinced that they're going to match up with exactly what I think is right. And see, that's where we argue, because I want this and he wants that. He's got the life for me planned 5 steps ahead of what I've got planned. And so my little short-term plans don't seem like God's following my instructions, you know, kind of thing. So just realize that the change will come. Don't fight it. Embrace it. Accept it. And let God help you through it, because it can be uncomfortable. Growing pains always are. All right, number 6, as we're rounding up to 7 here, you are not willing to own your responsibility. You are not willing to own your responsibility. Okay, this is where I was thinking about earlier. We do a carve out here for victims of sexual and emotional and physical abuse. When in step 8 and I'm sorry, step 12 reads the following. It says, we made a list of all persons who have harmed us and became willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators, as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize that we have also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them all. And so when we talk about you are not willing to own your responsibility, that is not saying it's your fault that the abuse happened. That is not saying that at all. What it is saying is that many of us that are victims of abuse, physical, emotional, sexual, that skews, that messes with us. And we then engage in behaviors, in thoughts, in speech that is not becoming of being a follower of Christ. It's not becoming of being a productive individual. It's not becoming of being whatever, kind, generous, gracious, not an image bearer of God, in other words. We need to own that part, okay? We need to own this stuff happened to me. This was not my fault, not at all. But I need to take responsibility for some of the things that maybe as a result of those root causes I have done. For those that maybe don't struggle or have suffered with the physical, the social, the sexual, mental abuse, this is key. this is maybe the number one reason people leave recovery early, is they're not willing to get real with themselves. They're still in denial, in other words. They're not really willing to own what it is that they need to own. The proverbial person that has had five or six spouses and it's always the other person's fault of why the marriage ended. And it's like, the common denominator is you. Maybe you should look at that. What is it that you are bringing to the table that's harming the scenario? So we're very big on, that's why we have accountability partners and sponsors in this program, because they're an outside individual oftentimes struggling or having some victories over the things that we struggle with. So they know us well. They know the lies an alcoholic tells. They know the codependent behaviors that a codependent exhibits. They know when somebody's getting a little bit too close to the edge in the internet and looking at things they shouldn't, because their mind's already three steps ahead, okay? They know that it was just a swimsuit ad from JCPenney and all of a sudden now they're surfing, porn. Well, because we know how that works if we're wired that way. So accountability is important. So we have accountability partners to help us, to look at us, to give us our blind spots. And then as we go through the steps in the program, we become involved in a community that's open and willing to share with one another. And as I say, you can come and admit your faults and people aren't judging you. They are accepting you. But they're saying, just as you should be saying to yourself, that's not okay. It's not an excuse that I was abused, or it's not an excuse that I can't stop drinking and then therefore did these things. You own it, and then you move on. You don't stay in it. That's the most important part of this program, is it's not a program where we stay seated on the couch and just thumb through the photo albums of all our bad memories and just wallow. We're getting off that couch. We're out there moving. We're doing different things, okay? So maybe you're stuck because you're still blaming other people, other circumstances. You're still thinking COVID is the reason you're in this room tonight, okay? It's probably not, all right? But so you maybe have some work to do. Scripture that goes with that. Let's see, examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover if there is any evil inside me, and guide me in the everlasting way. That's Psalm 139:23. That's a great just mindset to have with God. Examine me, God. Test me. Look at me. Point out the things that are shortcomings. It's a great way to start a conversation with your sponsor and accountability partners. Okay? So that's what this is. And finally, number seven, which I think I have here somewhere on my sheet. Yes, I do. You've not developed an effective support team. You're trying to do recovery solo. You're coming in here late. You're leaving early. You're not going to small group, not choosing a table to sit at dinner. You're keeping to yourself. You don't have a sponsor. You don't need an accountability partner. You're going to do this thing. You're just going to apply those 12 steps and those 8 principles to your life with all your might and all your effort. Not even God maybe needs to help you, because you got this. You're showing up here. You need to build that team. Part of that team is coming every week. Part of that team is getting involved here. Part of that team is going through the motions. Even if it seems counterproductive, even if you don't understand why do we read the 8 steps or the 12 principles every week? Why do we, have this format that we do? I promise you, the more you come back, the more you'll understand it. God will reveal the wisdom in this program that He is at the core of. Okay? So those 7 things are things that I want you to look at in your life and ask yourself first, do you feel stuck in your recovery? I am praying that you don't. I'm praying that right now is a good season for you. You feel like you're progressing. And once again, movement forward is not necessarily indicative of a successful recovery. Okay, sometimes you can be one of those people that just looks busy. Okay, that's deflecting. That's distracting. That's not so. I'm not saying that it's based on actions or something like that necessarily, but I want you to be reflective on do you feel stuck or stagnant, and then reflect on these 7 and say, okay, is there some piece of that that's speaking to me tonight? All right. Well, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, for any of us that are stuck tonight, I pray that you put on our heart why, what is it? Was something that we talked about tonight that you're putting on our heart speaking to us? And that I ask that you give us courage to face that or those things if they are many. Lord, I pray that for anybody that's new or newer in their recovery walk or their faith walk that's here tonight, I would pray that it's not that they become unstuck from questioning your ultimate sacrifice, questioning that your death on the cross paid for all sin for all time for all people that accept you. I would ask that you draw near to those that are feeling distant from you. Once again, knowing that you didn't move, okay, but drag them to you. You are a God of pursuit, Lord, and I pray that you just open our eyes and our hearts to that pursuit that we each have as we sit here in prayer tonight. This sense that it's not you are sitting right next to us. You are in the small groups tonight. You are at our table at dinner. You're going to be here later for dessert. That you're that real, okay, Lord. I pray that's for all of us, Lord. Just give us the power to continue to persevere, and through your grace and your mercy, that you show us these little victories. Bring people into our lives that can point out, hey, you are a different person. I've seen a change in you, and I have seen that myself, Lord, in so many people in this room. It's one of the greatest gifts I've ever received from you, as this room and the change and the transformation in it. Lord, I pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.